Well, good afternoon to you all. And as you have been greeted before, I greet you again on this beautiful, beautiful fall day. But most of all, that we can come together and love the Lord. And I like that song, I Love the Lord, because he heard my cry. Yes, he hears us and he listens for us as well. We're still in this series. There's so much to be said about forgiveness and an emphasis today more on how to forgive even those who have wronged us. But God wants us to be forgivers just like he is. And last week we talked about letting go of those past hurts and those past harms have been done to you and let God handle it. I want to approach it a little bit differently today. I want us to be mindful of God. I think this is one of the most important keys to overcoming past hurts and having God to take care of things for us, if you please. God wants us to be mindful of him in being forgiving to others. We need to be mindful of God. And that's kind of my message. Be mindful of God. Don't let your mind anchor on and just focus on your enemies that have done wrong to you. Be mindful of God. That's what I want you to take away from today's message. Only two things, two words. Be mindful of God. Put your mind on God. And that will empower you and inspire you to forgive others. So I'll expand that message a little bit longer. Being mindful of God empowers and inspires us to forgive others. Because we don't want to forgive. It's painful to go back and so forth and have to forgive. But it's important. Remember this. Being mindful of God. Not your mind on what happened and who did it. But your mind on God. Be mindful of God. And that'll empower you. It'll set you free. And it'll give you strength. It'll give you inspiration. So keep your mind on the Lord. It inspires us to forgive others because that's what God did for us. He forgave us. And we'll be free to forgive others if we are mindful of God. Problem is we've spent too much time thinking about who done it and how they did it and why did it, da 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 da. They are not the answer. Life has proven that they are the enemy. And hopefully after you forgive them, you won't look at them that way no more. Last week, we were looking into the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and 11. I want to go back a little bit if I can. It says, good sense or wisdom makes one slow to anger. And it is such a blessing not to be quick-tempered and ready to fight at the least little thing. It says, it makes good sense or wisdom makes one slow to anger. And it is his glory to overlook an offense. You're not being sorry. You're not being, you know, not a fighter, not standing up, not taking care of your business, as they say on the street, by forgiving someone, overlooking what they did. Because it is not wise to be combative, not wise to be in fights all the time. It is wise. It is wise. And it is glorious to overlook. And we're going to get into that more next week about overlooking an offense. It is to our glory to overlook it. Now, we praise God for what he inspired Solomon to write there. But I want to go a little further this time. I want to talk to you today about Peter, the Apostle Peter. Peter, when writing to Christians, with offenses and issues, comes along Proverbs, comes along Solomon, even though Solomon was dead by the time Peter came along. But I'm talking about what they both taught. Because Peter comes along Proverbs and shows us a different way, but to the same goal. This is a gracious thing. Now watch this. This is a gracious thing. Did that sound like up there? In Proverbs, that it is a gracious thing, it's a glorious thing to overlook an offense? Peter says, writing to Christians, familiar with offense, they had all kinds of problems and attacks as Christians. This is what Peter says, writing to the Christians in his area. He says, listen to this very carefully. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. That's from 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. That's our text today. That's a piece that I want you to meditate on. Let God, ask God to write it on your heart. This is a gracious thing, 1 Peter 2 and verse 13. This is a good thing. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, not a target on the back of your enemy that you're going to get him one day. No, that's not gracious. That's not being mindful of God. Because vengeance is the Lord. That's what he said. It's mine. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. That's 2 Peter 2:19. That ought to be a memory verse for us. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows and suffering unjustly. In three little words, that's just three little words. Three little words. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures while suffering unjustly. When we are mindful of God. And see, that helps us in all kinds of ways. It gets us, our minds, off the problem and onto the solution. God is our solution. He is our rock. He's our defender. But our mind on him, because he is our help. He is our all in all. Peter shares one of the keys to overlooking offenses. See, this fits in with what Solomon wrote, and overlooking offenses. Peter shares this secret. And Father, I ask that you would write this in our hearts and help us never forget it. The keys to overlooking an offense, great and small, we become mindful of God. We become mindful of God. I don't care how big the problem is, or the attack, or the offense is, or how little it is. The solution is that we become mindful of God, because God is almighty and all powerful. We overlook offenses by looking up to God, not looking down, but we look up. Right there is inspiring. In other words, we don't focus on the offense itself, of the attack itself. There's no power there. The power is looking up to God. We don't stare at something within ourselves. I'm going to say it again. We don't stare in our own selves. I've got this, I'm going to do that. That merely distracts us from what's really important. We certainly don't look within ourselves for the strength to handle those who have misused us. Rather, we overlook their offenses by looking up to God, by becoming mindful of who he is for us in this moment, in this problem. An old song I used to hear my mother and aunts and grandmother sing. It says, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure enough need him now. That was true back then. It's true now. It's true right now in whatever problem you're going through. We need the Lord. And that's why we look up to him. In the power of the Holy Spirit, by becoming mindful of who he is for us in this very moment. We're not talking about what happened last year. We're not talking about what happened in the future. We're talking about right now. We're looking up to God. Rather, we overlook offenses by looking up to God. Say it with me. We overcome by looking up. Can you say that? One or two of y'all, We overcome by looking up. By looking up. To be sure, Peter's readers, they understood what heat was about. They understood what persecution was about. They were dealing with offenses more severe than any of us are dealing with right now, unless you are over in the Middle East or some other place where you've been persecuted as a Christian. And where many of our brothers and sisters are being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus. And I know they're looking up. They have to look up. They have to be mindful of God. We as Westerners may typically face some abuse and ridicule and some fiery trials. But learning to overlook the biggest offenses usually begins with the learning to overlook the smallest. Well, they just get on my nerve. Did you see what that supervisor, when they passed by, how he was smacking and looking down at me? Girl, I tell you, or man, I ain't putting up with this. I'm getting me another job. I'm going to Walmart. All right? Well, nothing wrong with Walmart. Nevertheless, we want to run out of our problems rather than where we are. Look up to God. Look up to God. Being mindful of God empowers you. You've got God on your side. You've got God against all your enemies, and he is more powerful than us, and he is there, and he's mindful of us. We need to be mindful of him when the worst things come. What then are we mindful of when we are mindful of God? I'm going to just pause and take a sip of water, let you think about that. I'm going to think about that. What then are we mindful of when we are mindful of God? When I think about the Lord, I think about his power. I think about his glory. I think about that he is creator. I think about the fact that he loves us and that he'll fight every battle for us. Let me give you one. God sees every offense. He sees every and hears every curse word that's launched towards you. God sees every offense. I look up. We look up because God sees every offense. Let's think about it. From where he is in eternity, he can see more than us. We think we know what's going on and what's going down or what's going up, but he does. Offenses have a way of turning us into momentary atheists. In other words, we don't, when the heat comes, when the offenses come, when the attacks come, we like God doesn't exist. No, offenses have a way of turning us into momentary atheists. Oh, what am I going to do? And I can understand fear. Sometimes I get afraid. Who's that walking up behind me? But we're not atheists. We believe that God exists. Not only exists, he is all powerful, almighty, all knowing. He's our all in all. That's why we read Psalm, was it 139 before the beginning of services? In our tunnel vision, I got a tunnel vision. I can't see but one way. And then I can't see a way out of it. And then I realize this is dark. Well, why is it dark? Because you're in a tunnel, boy. You need to come out and praise the Lord. I'm calling myself. All right. We think and feel and act as if there were no God in the world, much less in the room. Nuts much with us on our jobs or in school. Look up. Be mindful of God. He is here. He is with us. And he said, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. That's a promise God has made. And God wants us to trust him. He wants us to grow in our faith in him. If when you do good and suffer for it, this is what God says. When you do good and you suffer for it, you say, oh, man, well, you know, I'm used to doing good. Now I got all these trials. No. That's the enemy speaking to you. Don't receive that. First, remember that God is here. Remember that first. Look up. He's not over there. He's here. I say look up because his throne and all that means. But he's here. He's with us. If when we do good and suffer for it, if we endure, we've done what's right and we're suffering for it. If we endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. That's 1 Peter 2:20. If when you do good, how many of us have done good and have it seemingly evil repaid to us? I can do that good. No, we do good because God lives in us and he's a good God. And we show his glory. Even when people are evil against us, we treat them with dignity and respect. If when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. I want you all to think about that this week. I know many of us have done good and said, it doesn't do no good to do good. Might as well, blah, blah, blah. No, that's a lie. I want us to look up and be mindful of God. No offense happens off stage. I want you to remember that as well. Nothing happens off stage. So why do you say a stage? Because with God, the whole thing's a stage upon which his glory is displayed. All the universe, all the stars, all the heavens, all the earth, it's a stage in which you are a part of, that the glory of God and all of his goodness is seen in the heavens and on the earth. And no offense happens off stage. This is happening. Whatever is happening to you is happening on God's stage, on God's grounds. In some way that we cannot observe, all of the corners of the universe, being mindful of God pulls back the curtains, puts us in the spotlight. See, God, why can I say curtain spotlight? Because God loves you and his eye is on you. If we can sing, if his eye's on the sparrow, I know he's watching. I know he's watching. And he doesn't need a light to do it. He is light. God pulls back the curtain and he puts the spotlight and reminds us as we look up that we live and move and have our being before the very eyes of an audience more important, more awesome than 1,000 kings and presidents. That's right. You are, as a believer, more awesome, more prized than any king, any president. That's why God's putting his eyes on you. You are the apple of his eye. And he loves you. And he's with you. He has not deserted you when hard times come. Satan wants you to believe, well, ain't no good. You know, ain't no need to worship the Lord. No. No. That is because you have value and worth. And the enemy walks about as a roaring lion. He's snaggletooth. He cannot destroy you. But he can roar and try to scare you. Don't buy it. Look up. Look up. Be mindful of God. And he will empower you and inspire you to forgive your very enemies. No, I know you've gone off now, Pastor. Yes, love your enemies. Do good to those. That's what the scripture says. Who despitefully use you. God will empower you and give you the strength, because that shows his glory. To do that. Watch this. I'm going to say it again. I want you to remember this. God's all-seeing eye. He doesn't need the bifocals like I got. He sees you. Again, you are the apple of his eye. You're his MVP. His most valuable player. He sees you. And he sings over you. That's what the scripture says. God actually sings over us. He loves us that much. Look up. Can you hear him? Can you hear? God's all-seeing eye carries a warning with it. Yes, it does. Hebrews 4:13. Read it later when you get home. But Peter makes the opposite application. God sees, assures, and assures us that he whose smile matters. You know, God, I look at my children sometimes. They get old. I see my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and it makes me smile. It makes me rejoice. When God looks down at us, his children, and he sees us being mindful of him, looking up at him, oh, he rejoices at that. And he really does love us. And he really is pleased with us. We are his beloved children in whom he's well pleased. God sees and assures us that he whose smile matters. Remember the Lord looking down and smiling at you? Whose smile matters most is watching. That means more than your supervisor that won't give you a raise or your neighbor who won't have anything to do with you. You have his approval, and that's because he sees his beloved son in you who shed his blood for you. God so loved the world. God so loved you. He so loved me that he forgave us and he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, whoever receives him, will have eternal life. I want you to again look at Hebrews 4:13, and I want to turn to it now. But Peter, as he writes this, Peter, as he encourages those of his brethren who were in severe persecution, severe trauma, being crucified, Peter himself upside down on a cross. Wow. The Christian, you and I, when our neighbors see our endurance, when they see that we're looking up and that we have a source of strength, they're wondering, I need to get some of that. I need to know the Lord. They see our patient endurance. God looks on and sees a precious child, a person of his own possession. That's in 1 Peter 2:10. A beautiful imitator of his beloved son. We are imitators. We're walking in the similitude of his beloved son. And God loves that. We are people, a person of his own possession, a beautiful imitator of his beloved son. Offenses are opportunities. Listen to this. Offenses are opportunities for the God of the universe to look down on us and say, this is a gracious thing in my sight. Even as you go through troubles and difficulties, and you overcome, the Father rejoices. Like at a baseball game or a football game or a basketball game. That's my boy. That's my girl. And you hear his voice from the stands of heaven. And all the angels are rejoicing. As God rejoices, that's my daughter. That's my son, in whom I'm well pleased. And all the angels are rejoicing over you because you endured the pain. You looked up and you were mindful of God. The whole universe looks down on us and say, this is a gracious thing. God says, this is a gracious thing in my sight. God does not, however, observe our offenses as a mere member out in the audience or on the big screen, but is the director of the whole thing. He is the coach. He is the, I don't know, he's the all in all. He's the owner of the team. He's the president of it. He's not just a spectator. He is the director of the whole drama. And we're all on a stage. And God's working all things together for the good who love him and are called according to his purpose. You got a purpose. In the theater of the universe, every offense, every time somebody spits at you or curses at you, He's doing it in the theater of the universe. And every offense, no matter how trifling, is part of the play. Every word, every gesture has been given its act, its part, its scene, and lined up by the one who sends various trials. God sends the trials. He is not a helpless backbencher or way up in the stands and all the way off somewhere. No, he sends the various trials, including offenses. Those who offend us, those who attack us, so that our fight may bring strength and be tested and be proven as precious. You say, where do you find that, Pastor? 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. Please read Peter this week. And all I've said, maybe I'll come back to you. Imitating the man of sorrows. That's what Jesus was called. A man of sorrow. Of all he went through. Imitating the man of sorrows cannot happen apart from trouble. You can't be like Jesus. A man or a woman of sorrows like Jesus. Unless you go through something. Reminds me of an old Native American saying. You determine the chief. You know who the leader of the pack is by the number of arrows in his back. Or her back. That's who the leader is. That's who the chief is of the tribe. That determines the difficulties, the hardships. That's where you grow. That's where you're tried in fire. And you come out pure. Nothing but pure gold. You can't come out right unless you suffer. And you can't be like the man of sorrows unless you go through trouble and distress. On this side of heaven, in fact, offenses are part of our calling as Christians. To this you have been called, Peter tells us. 1 Peter 2, 21. And why? Why have you been called to this? Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. 1 Peter 2, 21. Following Jesus means imitating Jesus. And imitating Jesus means suffering, sorrow, trouble, distress. But it's not hopeless. Look up, my brothers and sisters. We got to look up. Look up. Be mindful of God. And then we will be empowered. Not only for ourselves. But we'll be inspired to help others. To help our brothers and sisters. To encourage them. Look up. Be mindful of God. And he empowers us. And inspires us. To forgive others and to help others walk in the same footsteps of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for that example of Jesus. And we thank you for choosing us to suffer the sorrows, the distress, the death. Thank you, Father, for the growth that you will bring forth in us. And we ask you to bless us. And when we hang our heads down, lift them up, Lord. Let us be merciful. Be merciful, O God, and empower us to forgive our enemies and to love others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. You want to know Christ? You know, I believe that we come to know Christ by his sacrifice and receiving his sacrifice, his body and his blood. And therefore, I'm reading from Matthew 26, verse 26. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. And Father, we take this bread that points us to the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for making us a part of you. I mean, a part of you, Lord. Through salvation, through you saving us, through the Holy Spirit, we're made one with you. That's almost unthinkable. But as we eat this bread, blessed Lord, that we might experience the union of you and of us. And that we believe that. And if there is anyone who is here today who does not believe that you can become a part of the body of Christ, let me tell you it is true. Father, I ask you to open minds and hearts of those listening here today and those who are listening by Zoom or wherever they may be. Strengthen their faith to receive, because believing is receiving your gift. And so we ask you to bless this bread that we receive your body and we become more like you more and more. Bless this bread now, Lord. And bring life, the bread of life, which is you, Jesus, to those who need it. And if we ever needed the Lord before, as I said earlier, we do need you now and forevermore. Amen. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that washes us from all of our sins, past, present, future. Your blood's more than enough, and you're more than enough for us. Bless this wine, Lord. Cleanse us by your blood. Strengthen us by your blood. Thank you, and give us new life through your blood. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, you know, there's something about the relationship we have with God, that he chose to have a relationship with us. He so loved the world, so loved us who were his enemies, who rejected him and rejected his son, that he so loved us. Not just, well, I love. No, he so loved the world passionately, that he gave his life through his son for us. And in response to his love, let's tell the Lord that we love him. In the song, I love the Lord.
The Lord, reason. I'll hasten to his throne.